Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you motherfucker. Okay. All right.
Blue Magic, that's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it, I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is when you chop my dope down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and then you call it Blue Magic, that is trademark infringement. You understand what I'm saying?
Trademark.
It's your girl, D. Scott, and I am here. I know y'all thought I forgot about you, but I didn't. It is Tell the Truth Tuesday, you know, the show that I wait all week to get in everybody's ass. But this week was surprisingly good. It is Tuesday, March 28, 2017, and the show is entitled Week 4. So, you know, I was watching this crazy basketball bullshit because my stepdad watches that shit. I don't know what it's about. And it was like 16 games, and it was like 25 or something like that. But they were close by. They were in Buffalo, which I thought was pretty cool. And I was like, damn, if I'd have known, I would have went. So here's the thing. So here's my truth. My truth is that, you know, I'm week 4 of my recovery. And so I'm very excited that I got Horatio Jones's books, and him along with Joe Brock and Martha Michelle. They're poets. And so a lot of you don't know that I started out, like, everybody's like, how do you fucking speak like that? What does everything you say sound so eloquent? And it's based upon the fact that I was a very seasoned poet. I actually was doing poetry before I started doing nonfiction. Well, actually, I went from poetry to doing fiction, then I started doing nonfiction because I found that people related more to pain than we do happiness. You know, pain is always evident, happiness isn't. So that's why a lot of you follow me, and I'm very appreciative. So as I stated, it's week 4. So I am able this week to go to the bathroom, do everything that I need to do. My son's birthday is coming up, and that's going to be like a situation within and of itself. I'm able to stand up straight. And it was crazy because my stepdad's sister, Aunt Barbara, she was like, yeah, I had a hysterectomy. She was telling me like eons ago, and I'm actually going to not so much blog about it, but actually talk about the fact that we as black women don't talk about the H word, you know, hysterectomy. And it's funny because if you look at the word and you break it down as I do with all things, you know, and you look at the Latin root of it, or you look at any root, you know, root of it, it's hysteria. And so it was so crazy because there was a movie on television the other day, I'm flicking the channels, and it was called Hysteria, and it was about, you know, these doctors that came up with, you know, the electroshock therapy in a woman's vaginal area that would cause her to, quote unquote, not be bipolar, or not be manic, or not be anything. So you're going to take this like 1,000-volt thing and put it on my vajayjay. And so I shut the fuck up. And guess what? I'm still not going to shut the fuck up. So week 4, you know, I scoured the internet for everything about what the hysterectomy, you know, was going to be like, and why, and, you know, because they had to take all my shit out, and, you know, so on and so forth. So basically, I found nothing. There was a group called Hyster Sisters or whatever, but I just think that we as black women, we get this done because we are actually being affected 3 times more than any other race, and I think it's due to stress. And that, and uterine cancer, and we don't talk about it. So we're not talking about the fact that you could actually literally feel your fucking organs going back to where they need to be. You actually have a loss of appetite and then a heightened sexual appetite, yet you can't fucking fuck. You can't have sex. You can't do anything. Because you'll, like, rip your entire vajayjay situation up. you know, and it's funny, and I'm going to share this because it was a pivotal moment, and I think this is actually something that's actually going to go in the book. So as I'm in the basement in the hospital, because that's where they do the surgeries at, where I'm from, one of the best doctors in the industry, one of the best oncologists and gynecological oncologists, you know, in the industry in my area. And my doctor's late. She's like 2 hours late. You know what I'm saying? Which is why when I came out of it, I got there at the hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got out of the hospital, like basically not out of the hospital, but I was in the room at like 2 o'clock. I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know? And I'm such a high candidate for all of these things because I don't take pills. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke weed. I drink occasionally more than often. And I remember being in the basement, not being able to text my best friend, not being able to text anybody, and because my phone wouldn't work, you know, there was no service. And I'm sitting in this little ass room, and it's like this, it's almost like being on like a 3 foot stage, and they sit you in this chair, and you're freezing. And if you have to have a hysterectomy, word to the wise, bring some socks, and because something happens to you, and they open your body up, and you become like completely frigid. And I remember sitting there, and the anesthesiologist, who was great, and they keep texting me and calling me to give him a review and shit. He must have thought he made an impression, but really, I hate your guts, but whatever. The person responsible for me being able to stay alive, which, you know, the anesthesiologist is just as important as the surgeon. And I remember breaking out crying because I remember saying, you know, you're taking my superpowers away and you want me to have this fucking conversation with you. And he's like, what do you mean your superpowers? And I'm like, well, everything that makes me a woman, you're going to take it out. You know, and so for some people, that's very depressing, and especially for me, because it's kind of like I didn't want a baby, but then the situation happened, and then it was like, but now I don't want a baby. But then when I was pregnant, I did want a baby, but only because it was going to be the last baby. It was like a total, like, just fucked situation. And then we realized you wouldn't have been able to carry the baby because what was going on in your uterus. And it wasn't that my uterus wasn't strong enough. There was cancer in there, so you can't, you know, saying like ate the baby, you know, like saying a dingo ate your baby. But I remember sitting there and I had like a quick cry for like 10 minutes where I was just crying because I was just like, my whole life, you know, I work so that people cannot take anything from me, which whether that's credibility, whether that's money, whether that's my child, anything, you can't take anything from me. And so to have this situation, it was kind of humbling because it was kind of like God saying, you know, here you are trying to control every fucking thing in your life, and you can't control how people view you. You know, I've lost a friend, some friends during this period, and I think it's because people look at me like I'm not human, like I'm not fallible, and I am. And so I remember sitting there crying, saying, you know, and they're kind of looking at me like, what do you mean a superpower? Like, bitch, I give birth. Like, what is it that you mere mortal man do again? Like, I give birth. I bring life. Like, a woman had you had it not been for us. So you're taking everything that makes me a woman away from me, and you want me to be, like, cool with it and crack jokes and shit with you. Like, I really want to fucking stab you with this fucking small pen that I see here in my room that shouldn't have been left here, which signifies to me that this room probably isn't really as clean as I thought it was. So I had my moment, and then it's so crazy because after the entire hysterectomy, the pain was excruciating. They don't tell you about that. And my pain threshold is high. I'm a motherfucker that was like, don't give me any narcotics. I don't want any drugs. You know, I've seen people die, and, you know, rest in peace to Bernadette, somebody that we knew from our childhood, you know, an unfortunate situation. But it always starts with that one pill. You know, and I didn't want that, so I just took, like, an extended version of ibuprofen, and I was actually off that 5 days after the surgery and just took the pain, because my biggest fear is, you know, when you use, you know, if you're into self-mutilation or if you're into anything that is abusive towards your own body or towards your own self, your biggest fear is you not being able to feel anything. And so for those of you that don't self-mutilate or haven't self-mutilated or don't self-medicate, that's not going to make any sense to you because all you want to do is feel nothing. But those of us that have that high pain threshold, and I've only ever, like, dated one person that I could physically, like, just bite down on him, like, on his flesh, and he barely flinched. And it's funny because that's a litmus test for me that says, like, your level of pain has to have been higher than mine because I would have, you know, cried or something and the man didn't do anything. And so for me, having to feel pain is better than feeling nothing at all, right? Because I feel like my life is in many places, like sometimes I have to pinch myself to believe, like, am I this happy? Am I this, you know, happy in life? And then sometimes, you know, when I was younger, I would cut myself to say, am I really in this life? Am I really in this life? Is this what's really going on? And of course, I read about this in my first book. Now we're on book 7. And so book 7, I think, may just be my last book just because I don't have that level of pain anymore. You know, so anything, you know, things that go bump in the night, I am what goes bump in the night. And things that, you know, I think would have killed me didn't. People that I thought would have killed me didn't. Illnesses that I thought would have killed me didn't. Friendships that didn't last, thought would kill me, didn't. There's only maybe one friendship that I could say that if I lost it, I would be completely devastated. But other than that, you know, my premise for not taking the pain medication is because I'm always in a constant fear that, you know, I would rather, you know, there's a quote, and I can't remember who said it, and it's, I'd rather to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. So I would rather feel something than to feel nothing. And so I'm going to close the show out with Rosé. And if you didn't know, hold on, let me take a sip. I'm on that Niagara Escarpment wine, Bully Hill. I always get the blush, which is the rosé. That's my nickname. And then I get the sweet white, because ever since I had the surgery, the reds are just not sitting right with my palate right now. So my Malbecs, my Shiraz, my Carmenere, they're not sitting back with my palate. And I have to kind of work up with that. Like, y'all, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm drinking white wine spritzers because my level of alcoholism is just completely shot and very low right now. I'm very embarrassed about that. But I had a quote a few weeks ago, and I said that, you know, love for people like us is self-mutilation. And sometimes we engage in behaviors that make us fall in love or that make us feel something because we're so tired of feeling nothing. And so that is, you know, my week 4 contribution to the world, is that, you know, love for some people, especially for me, is an act of self-mutilation. So if I can't see the blood, if I can't see anything that makes me feel alive, like, you have to do something if we're in love. And if I can't feel alive, then I don't want it, right? So that means the pain, the hurt, you know, those things cannot outweigh the happiness. So everything with me is a delicate balance, and it's like being in a relationship with somebody that's bipolar, but only in relationships. I'm very clear on life and how things go. But we're at week 4, very excited, because now I can start. They say I can run, but it's not true. I can do some brisk walking as if I'm in some sort of AARP club. And if you're in the AARP, you know, bless it, because I'm not that fucking old yet. So I'm going to leave you guys with one of my other favorite tracks by Rick Ross. Last week you guys heard Apple in My Eye, which is with Rafael Sadiq. This one is Rosé, I Think She Liked Me, one of my favorite tracks. I told y'all this last week. Tune in for next week. Hopefully I have some more tea to spill, but tonight it was just wine.
The flyest shit ever. It's that Rich Forever Part 2. Laying in my bed, I'm under Nego chandeliers. Can't say too many names, they had these kind of years. Night sweaters and these icy diamonds on my wrist. Ice Cube looking nigga, you know life a bitch. I once got no allowance, now I got the crown. I said I was the boss, nobody made a sound. Really had to see them things, this level storytelling. Who else could flip a chorus in the 40 million? Out in cons with Leonardo DiCaprio. While I don't bond, pray I go to trial rapido. 8 felonies telling me, wanna give me life. Every nut I bust, really, I gotta do it twice. Ricky Ronaldo, really, when I'm in Portugal. I pull a yacht out this weekend, I'm fucking so-and-so. Camera splash, paparazzi laying in the grass. Tom Brady, my new neighbor, you can tell him that.
I think she likes me. Oh, I think she likes me. I know a nigga don't like me. With your bitch right now, yeah, I might be. Sipping licks right now, yeah, we might be. Might hit it from the back, let it ride me. Girl, you never meet another nigga like me. Girl, you never meet another man like me.
I'm sex to women, I don't fish your out. I gas up and let her lick me down. I may name my daughter Hermes. Get my jeweler to decorate the new bird's nest. Lynch. I met his chick, he haven't seen her since. Through the city, I'm still floating like a magic carpet. She stopped me for a selfie, I just want the knowledge. Expressing what you think is in your kids at college. I'll be a Geechee nigga just to keep the Bentley polished. Do it for the dear departed, fuck a Ben Carson. Empowering and you made a nigga a target. Only one that's smoking up in Goldman Sachs. But I'm the only one that's rolling like a quarterback. And I never put it in my government. Cause I never put on for the government.
I think she likes me. Oh, I think she likes me. I know a nigga don't like me. With your bitch right now, yeah, I might be. Sipping licks right now, yeah, we might be. Might hit it from the back, let her ride me. Girl, you never meet another nigga like me. Girl, you never meet another man like me.
You caught the case, you gotta post a bond. I'm Ray for lemons, mixed with Young Wale for Lauren. Staring in my safe, I'm rather safe than sorry. Diddy, Jigga, only two niggas coming for me. I park the caddy in my living room. Pussy niggas looking for me, I'ma give it to them. Santorini, Greece, sex in the swimming pool. If a pussy dry, I call a Beetlejuice. I'm baby making in the Mandy's. Put up all the yachts, pull out the jet skis. Gally hit me on the FaceTime.